He's a flowing river of living water. And so we're called to move and to keep in step with the Spirit. So how does the Spirit lead us? Is there just one way, or perhaps are there a variety of ways that the Spirit leads us? I think the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is a great one and helps us to see some of the ways that the Spirit leads us. Begin with me in verse 26, Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south on the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot and reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus the Christ. And many of you would know the story. It carries on from there. Philip ends up baptizing the eunuch. And then after he comes up out of the water, Philip is taken off to a different area. I think within this story, there's at least three things that we can see about ways that God leads us. And it's ways that we see Philip being led in this passage. The first way that God can lead us by His Spirit in our lives is clearly. If you're writing notes, you can write down number one, and clearly. God leads us at times very, very clearly. Now, as humans, probably many of us, we think this is the preferred method. God, just tell me exactly how it's supposed to be. And you know what? At times, He does. I remember we had a very new Christian in our church in Victoria, who God spoke to her heart and gave a message for her to share with somebody. And the way that she would know it was for the right person is that this person was painting their room purple. She was a brand new Christian. I thought, this is unbelievable. I've never had that kind of detail from God. She found the person. She shared the word with them, and it was exactly what they needed to hear. Isn't that neat how God works with such detail at times? That same woman, this new believer, she was in one of our church prayer meetings one time. And we had gathered on weeknight evening, prayed for an hour and a half or so, and we got together as a large group just to respond and pray in a circle. And I said, as we were wrapping up, I said, "Why don't we take a few more moments? If any of you have a scripture to share, just ask God if there's a word that He'd have you share for us as we wrap up our prayer time." So we took a few more minutes to listen, to pray, and then share a few things from Scripture. Well, this new believer, she said, "I've got a scripture," so she read it. And it was this very obscure passage from Isaiah. I don't remember where it was found. And she read it, but it was so perfect for that particular prayer meeting. Like, it described exactly what we needed to hear. It was so confirming and affirming. And it was just, it sort of led to this hushing moment for us as a group, as we're like, "Wow, thank you, God. That your word is so right on for us. Thank you." So we disbanded, we closed the prayer meeting, everybody was going home, and I came up to this woman, her name was Jen. I said, "Jen, thank you so much for sharing that passage." And I said, "I'm really interested, how did God lead you to share that scripture with us? Did He bring a certain word to mind? Have you looked in the back of your Bible in the concordance for that word and found where it might be?" Like, because that's sometimes how it works for me, where I'm like, "Oh, I feel like God wants to say something like this," and then I look in the concordance. Where is there scriptures about that? Ah, that's good. And it's His word? Great, I'll share it. So I thought, maybe it was that. Or I said, "Maybe were you reading this scripture in your devotions this week and you thought, this would be a right time to share something?" She said, no, you said, "Ask God for a scripture to share." So I did. And He said, "Isaiah 35, 21. So I just read it to you all. And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, right, that's how it works, of course." But sometimes that is how it works. As you reflect on your life, and how God leads you, there have probably been times where He's been very detailed with you. And that's helpful, so helpful at times. This camp that I was speaking at down island this weekend, was so interesting. The camp camp leaders that are there, they weren't part of the actual camp we are, but they run the facility. They've got a church in town. They've built a new facility for their church in the city that they're in. And I got their story in a nutshell, and it was just so amazing to hear how God led them. And they said, he gave us this particular passage from Isaiah, and it had details about, like, go out the gate, turn to the right, and it mentioned something about rocks. And so they're like, we think that this somehow has to do with our new building. We don't know what it means, but we think it does. So they're like, if we were to go out of our property, out the gate, and to the right, where are their gravel pits? You know, and so they started looking in the area. Where are their gravel pits? And they were like, maybe God is leading us to buy a gravel pit in the area, and we can build our own church building there one day. And so they would try all these gravel pits and try to buy them, and nothing worked out. Meanwhile, the Lord had spoken through a word of encouragement from a guest minister to them saying, start saving money. God's going to do something quickly. So they put some money aside as a church. Meanwhile, still looking for gravel pits. Long story short, almost accidentally, they got connected by somebody who said, you know, you should talk to this person. They talked to that person. They said, yeah, you know what? We're selling our property. It's going to go through. You know, you're a little bit too late on it. So the church said to them, okay, if your deal happens to fall through, just give us a call because we'd be interested. But the next morning at 7:30 a.m., they got a call from the guy. He said, the deal died, so it's yours if you want it. They said, we want it. It was specific land, which is rare to find, that was zoned for worship assembly. So they said, of course we want it. They didn't know the cost, what was going to happen. They had managed to save just over $20,000. There would need to be more finances up front. But the guy said, you know what? I trust you guys. You seem like good people. Why don't you just give me $20,000 up front? We'll figure out the rest of the deal later on. Yes, we can do that, they said. Long story short, they end up on the property. They purchase it. They find out that historically, years and years and years earlier, this property was once a gravel pit. Isn't it funny? It's just amazing how God can, at times, lead with incredible detail. And it becomes very confirming, very affirming. It's worth praying and asking for. God, could you lead me clearly in this? You know, as a pastor, and perhaps you as a friend of other Christians, when you're praying for people, often one of the main things people come asking me for prayer for is, I just need direction from God about something. There's this big desire in our hearts for clarity. And it's okay to ask and hope and lean in for clarity. God spoke clearly to Philip, didn't he? At one point he said, get up next to that chariot. That was an absolutely clear statement. There was no wondering about it, was there? It was clear. Get up next to the chariot. So sometimes God speaks to us clearly, and we thank him when he does. There's a second way that God speaks to us, and we see it in the story as well. The second way that he speaks or leads us by his Spirit is ambiguously. Sometimes he leads us very clearly, and sometimes he leads us not so clearly, with ambiguity. He told Philip in one instance, get up next to that chariot. But at the beginning of the passage that we read, how did he lead him there? He said, get on the road that goes to Gaza. If I was Philip, I don't know about you, I'll speak for myself, but if I was Philip, if I heard that from God, get on the road that goes to Gaza, I'd think, great, I'm going to Gaza, right? There's times that we jump ahead of God. There's times, though, that we assume God is talking about destination, but he's actually talking about direction. He said, get on the road that goes to Gaza. He didn't actually say, go to Gaza. And perhaps as humans, we can jump ahead of God or make assumptions at times. However, God is intentionally at times leading us ambiguously, not to confuse us, not to frustrate us, but to keep us close so he can lead us one step at a time. Have you ever had moments where you feel like God might be leading you in a certain direction? Of course, we'd love for it to be clear, and we pray and we ask for God to clarify, but there are times that God leads us ambiguously. I remember for Laura and I, when we bought our first little place we lived in Langley. We first married. God brought some provision together at the time so that we could purchase a little townhome. And we were young. We didn't know how you're supposed to buy houses. We didn't really know what realtors were for. We just thought they helped us sign the papers, all that kind of stuff. So we tried to do all the legwork ourselves pretty much before we even talked to a realtor. We found the MLS website and figured out how it worked. And so we just did a bunch of research on there. And all of a sudden, this one townhome popped up that seemed to be everything that we had been asking and praying for. And so we're like, awesome, let's go see it. What do we do next? You know, so we asked family, how do you buy a house? We found the one we want to get. You know, and we didn't know how this works. And so they said, well, here's a realtor. You should talk to them. So we talked to the realtor. He took us through the place, and he said, it's a great place. I could find a whole bunch of other ones similar to this that you could look at in town. What would you like to do? We're like, no, this is great. He's like, oh, did you want to put an offer on it? Sure. So we sat at the kitchen table in the house that we looked at, wrote an offer on it, and by the end of the night, it had been received, and we purchased that place. So we had this idea. This is how you buy places. This is wonderful. That was so easy. No sweat. And then years later, God called us here to Comox. And so we thought, perfect. He's going to do the same thing again. We're just going to walk into the first place we see, and we'll sit down and write an offer, and we'll get our place, right? That's how it works. Isn't it interesting that at times God's acted one way, we sort of put him in that box that he'll probably do it, he better do it exactly like that the second time. When we got here, we looked at one place that we were hopeful would be the right place, but we were disappointed after we went through it. It wasn't going to be the right place. Months passed, and over 30 homes that we went through here, we finally arrived at a very carefully calculated decision to end up at the place that we did, 2323 here in Crescent. We ended up feeling very led by God there, but it was a very different journey. We thought it was going to be one way, but it took a lot of work. It took a lot of research. It took many months. It took a lot of time. And to be honest, at points it was frustrating. We were praying, God, couldn't you just be clear? Like, why didn't you just show us that house right away when we got here? Why didn't you give us a dream that was 2323 Heron Crescent? That would have been a lot easier, right? But sometimes he leads us ambiguously. And it's interesting because at the end of the day, we almost felt like it became our own decision to buy that place. But we had some specific things that we were praying for. We had been praying, God, we want a home that's a home of peace and joy. We prayed that regularly. God, whatever the home is, we want it to be a home of peace and joy. And we had, like I said, we had looked through about 30 different places. Laura and I had narrowed it down to two in the valley that we were interested in. I liked one. I could almost remember the street name. I forget what it is right now. And Laura liked another one. And I hated the house that she liked, and she hated the one that I liked. So we were stalemated for a few weeks. It frustrated our realtor because he's like, well, do you want to see those two again? We're like, yeah. And we'd go through it and try to convince the other one of, here's why this one's awesome. And we go through the other person's like, oh, that's terrible. It's a horrible place to put laundry. What were they thinking? Let's never live here. And it just went back and forth, and we thought, this is frustrating. God's not leading us. And then later on, we did see the 2323 Heron Crescent, and we just had that sense of peace about it. What was so interesting to us is that when we moved in, the day we moved in, the sellers were moving out, and they were a little bit late, so we just patiently waited on the sidewalk as they were wrapping up their last few things. They were about 30 minutes outside of the deal before they were off the property, and that was okay. And so we actually met the sellers. And they were perhaps nominal Catholics, but they seemed to have a semblance of faith, and that was interesting to hear. And they said to us, they said, you're going to love this home. It's a house of peace and joy. That was their words. And I was like, whoa, thank you, Lord. And then they said, we've said our prayers. We would say our prayers with our kids that God would bring the right family to this home. And then when we signed on the purchase contract, we saw that you're a pastor, and it just made us so happy to know that this kind of family was coming into this neighborhood. It's a great home. And so I was just like, wow, God, you really did lead us here. And then as sort of like a finishing touch from God, I asked about the front tree before they left. I said, that's a beautiful tree. What type of tree is it? And they said, oh, that's a linden tree. And our first son is named Linden. And we only had one child at the time. We're like, well, this is really perfect. But wouldn't it have been nice if God started with the dream or the vision or somebody with a prophetic word saying, I see 2323 here in Crescent, linden tree, peace, joy, da 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 da. It would have saved us a lot of grief, right? But sometimes God says, get on the road that goes to Gaza. Because He wants us to keep in step with the Spirit. Maybe it's that the Spirit likes to go for walks with His children. I'm not being silly, I'm being real. Like, if God is good and a father, He probably likes to go for a stroll with His children. And too bad for us that there's times that we're trying to work faster than God, and we're trying to run ahead of Him, and He's just out for a nice stroll and wants us to be with Him in the journey. You've got life decisions going on. You've got big decisions. You've got small decisions. God's interested in being involved. As a church family, you're now engaging a season of transition, and the Spirit is going to help you navigate this season forward by faith. And there will be times, and pray for it, that He'll lead this church in your life clearly. But then trust Him. If it's not clear and it's a bit ambiguous, it's going to be okay. So God leads us clearly at times, and then sometimes He leads us ambiguously. Thirdly, we see this in this story, there's times that He leads us silently by actually saying nothing at all. It can be one of the most frustrating ways for Him to lead at times. However, there's reasons at times why He's doing this. We see in this story that Philip was led very clearly by the Spirit. Get on the road that goes to Gaza. You know, there was clearer supernatural speaking. The leading was ambiguous in that moment, but it was supernatural speaking. The second time, again, supernatural speaking, this time very clearly. Get up right next to that chariot. But the story doesn't end there. Philip's led by God one more time, I'd like to suggest. He actually gets into the chariot and shares the gospel of Jesus with the eunuch, doesn't he? But did God ever tell him to get in the chariot? No. So was Philip out of God's will by doing that? No. Did he do the right thing even though God didn't seem to speak in that moment? Yeah. So are there times in our lives that God aligns us with a moment? And then He entrusts us in that moment, knowing that once you're there, you are going to know what to do. I don't even have to say a word. I can just watch you step into your obedience. There are times that He does this. I'll explain it this way. As Pastor Dave mentioned, we started out, my wife and I, in youth ministry at CLA in Langley. And I'll save you the details of the story, but it was a very clear and supernatural leading from the Lord when we stepped down and resigned from there, and then 3 months later, took a position here at Comox. God's leading in that season was abundantly obvious. Of course, we wish that He would have been a little more clear, but it was very obvious that He was speaking. It was very supernatural. There were so many ways that we heard Him leading us, taking those steps of faith in that time. It was exciting. And then, years into our journey here in Comox, we were surprised by God speaking to us about the church planting piece. But that continued to grow. God turned up the volume on that one, and we realized, wow, He really is, like, in the flesh, I would never want to consider church planting, so this has to be God. And there was all kinds of confirmations and ways that He spoke in that season so that we knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that God was calling us to do something like that. And so He led, again, it was a bit ambiguous, it was a bit clear, but the way He spoke to us was very supernatural. So we had two significant transitions in our life under our belts that were very supernaturally led. And then, just over a year ago, we got a phone call from Pastor in Langley saying, I wonder if you'd consider coming to the church here in Langley. There had been transition in that church. My father-in-law was no longer the pastor there. There was a new pastor who had been there for about 3 years. And he said, Mike, I read your book. CLA's in this kind of journey. I think you're the guy that we'd like to have on board as we move forward. You could help us. We feel that God's in this. And I was not interested at all. I had a never about living in Langley. So I was like, I tried, you know, I did the right thing. I was like, oh, thank you, I'm honored. I'll pray about it, you know. And I was like, my version of prayer that I was praying was, Lord, no, amen. Have you ever had one of those prayers? But I said to him, I said, well, I'll pray about it. And anyways, time began to pass, and we didn't hear the Lord saying no about Langley like we wanted Him to. We were trying to lead Him to that. Of course, you're saying no, but we'll just wait until we hear it before we make the decision. Simultaneously, we're asking God to say yes to us about staying in Victoria, but we didn't hear the yes. And so we kept waiting and kept waiting and kept waiting. And then I got scared because about a month had passed. I'm like, why haven't we heard this no yet about Langley? Why haven't we heard the yes about staying in Victoria? It unnerved me. And then I thought, okay, God can't be in this. Because He led us supernaturally to Comox. He led us supernaturally to Victoria. But this doesn't feel the same yet. We sat back, Laura and I sat back waiting and praying, asking God, speak clearly. Speak even ambiguously if you have to, but just do it supernatural enough so that we know that you're in it. And nothing, 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 nothing. Weeks turned into months, and it frustrated me. God, you've got to be clear with us. Say Victoria or say Langley, just be clear with us. Say something. And it's not that he's being silent and distant. But there's times that in his silence, I think he's leading us to something that he knows we'll see. And Philip was led supernaturally to the road that goes to Gaza. He was led supernaturally right up alongside the chariot. But then God realized in that moment, Philip's going to know exactly what to do once he gets there. And that's what it came down to for Laura and I, where I realized, if I don't hear God supernaturally on this one, I think he's brought us up alongside the chariot, and I just know what we're supposed to do. And there are times that God will lead us that way. Maybe you can think of them in your own life where we've done our due diligence in giving God every and any opportunity to speak very clearly to us. And maybe we haven't heard yet. And in those moments, it perhaps is okay for us to learn how to trust Him. Okay, God, we're going to make a decision that we feel to be the right one. And how do we do that? We do that in light of who we see God to be as revealed in Jesus. We do that in light of what Christian community around us helps us to discern. We don't make those decisions on our own. We have to weigh them out through the character and consistency of Jesus in the Word as revealed there, and through Christian community together. I'm not trying to endorse a bunch of mavericks going out making a bunch of decisions claiming that God's been silent. That's not what I'm trying to do. How do we make decisions in the body of Christ? We do a lot of it together. We lean in expecting and hoping for God to be supernatural and loud in His leading. But in those moments when He leads us silently, and He does, and it's anointed and it's good, but in those moments when He does, we walk the way of dependence, and we learn how to discern those moments, not independently and steering away from God. Well, since you didn't say this, I just guess I can do whatever I want. No, it's not that. But there's times that I think he's leading us to a place where He can trust our hearts because we're trusting His heart. And it means we're not going to stray away from His heart. And so if at times you feel that God's being silent on something, sometimes it means wait and listen because there might be something clearly coming. But sometimes it's, I think you're going to know what to do when you're in that moment. And that's godly. Don't be afraid of moments when God empowers us with choice. He's interested in what's in our hearts. One of the reasons He'll be silent is so that He can listen to our heart. He's a good and loving Father who loves to go for walks with us, and He'd be interested at times to hear what we have in our heart. I love the story of Peter walking on water for so many reasons. I won't get into all of it, but I love this. In Scripture, there's only two people that we know of that walked on water. One was God, and one wasn't. And one of those two people had the idea for the one who wasn't God to walk on water. And guess whose idea it was? Not God's. It was Peter's. Peter was the one that suggested to God, hey, if it's really you, tell me to come out and walk to you. And I think there was something in the heart of God that said, wow, well, Peter, I like that you have that in your heart. Sure. Come on. It was Peter's idea. Now, it may have been inspired perhaps by the Spirit, but Peter was the one that voiced it. Paul writes and uses this language, I think it's in Corinthians, where he calls himself and others in ministry, calls them fellow workers of God, co-laborers. And this isn't bringing God down to our level and belittling us, but it's something in the heart of God that at times pulls us up to be with Him and to work alongside Him. That we work with Him. God's looking for partners, not powerless pawns on a chessboard, but partners in what He's bringing to the world. And so there will be times He'll be abundantly clear or ambiguously lead you, but in a supernatural way. And then there's times that He's silent, and we can still trust Him then. And sometimes in those moments, He's listening to our hearts, wondering, well, what would you like to do? How could we take steps forward in this journey together? At the end of the day, what this all comes down to, whether it's God leading us clearly or ambiguously or silently, God seems to always lead us in such a way that it puts us on a path of greatest dependence. This goes back to what I was saying at the very beginning about all those nevers. when we walk out into those kind of things, when we walk out in obedience to God, we're put in a position where we have to depend on Him. And the fruit seems to be better when we do, and His glory seems to be greater when we do. And He knows what's good for us, so often He will lead us in a way where we have to depend on Him, and not ourselves, and not others. And if He does that, don't worry. He's a good Father, and He'll lead us well through it. So, you have decisions in your life. Big decisions, small decisions. You have decisions in relationships. You have decisions in your church community, in the churches, this church's future. And God is going to lead you. Can you imagine Him being unfaithful to you or to this church? It would be so unlike Him. God has good things in His heart when He thinks about your future. He has good things in His heart as He thinks about how this church will navigate the steps forward in transition. And it's worth trusting in Him. Lean in, asking for Him to be clear. But if He's not, don't sweat it. It's actually interesting. At times when God's very clear, it puts a large onus on us to follow through with quite exact obedience. You look at God and Jonah. God was detailed with Jonah. It was hard for Jonah, wasn't it? Because God was so detailed. God led Abraham in a more ambiguous way, didn't He? Leave the land of your fathers to the place that I will show you. God didn't even tell him where He was going to send him. He did that with Jonah. Go to Nineveh. That seemed to create the problems. So with Abraham, hey, just leave. I'll tell you later where we end up. Sometimes God leads one way. Sometimes He leads the other. And other times He brings you alongside a chariot, knowing that you're going to know the decision to make once you get there. I want to pray for God and His leading in your life. No matter how He leads us, it all comes down to this. We're spirit people who need to keep in step with the Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit today. I believe today that all of us are qualified for something in the Holy Spirit this evening. You and I, we're either qualified for a John 20, an Acts 2, or an Acts 4. Do you say, I'm qualified? Oh, you whispered it. Do you say, I'm qualified?
I'm qualified.
You're qualified for one of these. Tonight, everybody can receive some kind of touch from God. Because if we're to be a Spirit people keeping in step with the Spirit, it means we need to nurture our relationship with the Spirit, right? And so there's three things, and I think all of us would be qualified for one of these three. A John 20, an Acts 2, or an Acts 4. What do I mean by that? John 20, Jesus speaks to His disciples, and then it says He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. My personal belief is that this moment was the moment where the Spirit of God came and truly indwelt the believers. When we come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, God comes and lives in us. It's His abiding presence by His Spirit. Maybe tonight you don't know if God lives in you. Maybe you don't know if you're in relationship with God. Before you leave, you could make that kind of decision. And God could come live within you by His Spirit. It'll help your life be led well. Some of you are qualified for a John 20 experience of the Spirit tonight. Others, Acts 2, which is a first-time touch of the Spirit. Not just the Spirit coming within, but it's the Spirit coming upon. Empowering us for a life of mission. Now, some of us might say, oh, I had that happen once. It was wonderful. I had prophetic utterance, or I spoke in tongues, or something like that. Praise God, that was wonderful. But you know, it wasn't meant just to be a one-time experience, because the same believers from Acts 2, many of them were still around in Acts 4. Where there had been serious threats from political and religious forces. And what did the church do? Did they shrink back in fear, thinking, let's just be quiet, we'll do nothing? No. They went to prayer together. And their prayer was, Holy Spirit, we need You. Give us courage to move forward. And the Spirit came and moved powerfully among them, again, similar to the way He did in Acts 2. So if you've had an Acts 2 experience, you qualify for an Acts 4 one, which is a lifestyle of being touched again and again by the Spirit of God. You and I are not to be stagnant pools of Spirit mass, but the Spirit is to move through us like a river of living water. In Ephesians it says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The tense used there in the Greek would lead it to be translated this way. Don't be drunk in wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be in an ongoing state of filling from the Spirit. You and I are called to be Spirit people and to keep in step with the Spirit, which means we need to nurture our relationship with the Spirit. So why don't we stand together? I know it's warm in here. To me, I just love this. I'm in Comox, and it's a hot summer night. This is like all my favorite things coming together. It would be just like God to want to move among us in a moment like this. So I wonder if you could just lean in with some expectancy in your heart. Maybe it helps you to bow your head or hold out your hands or do whatever would work for you, but allow this to be a meaningful moment for you. For some who are here tonight, maybe this is a moment where you'd say, I'm not sure if I'm in the right relationship with God, but I'd like to be. And friend, that happens through Jesus Christ. And when that happens, God comes and he dwells inside of us. God lives in us. If you want to know today, perhaps for the first time, or just be reminded by God's Spirit to your life that God abides in you, just in the privacy of this moment between you and God, would you just slip up your hand to him and say, God, that's me. I want to know for sure that you're living in me. I welcome you to live in me. Then you hold up your hand before him. For others, you might say, I don't know that I've ever had a real powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And you'd say, I welcome that today, God. Maybe that's you, and you can slip up your hand and say, God, I welcome your Spirit to touch me for a first time, not just within me, but upon me, empowering me for a life of mission and ministry. And then for others, there would be something in our heart that says, I've had that experience before, but I want it again. God, if you're doing it again, then I'd have it again. If that's you, you can slip up your hand before God. Why don't we all, if we feel responding to one or two or three of these, why don't you just slip up your hand together right now? Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to move as you would in this room this evening. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for these friends. Holy Spirit, you're so faithful. And God, when you came to the world to tell us about the Holy Spirit, one of the things you said was that if us as earthly parents have figured out how to give good gifts to our children, then how much more would you, as a good and perfect Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so tonight, we ask. So I wonder if you, just where you're standing this evening, could you just whisper under your breath to God a request, an ask? God, I need your Spirit to move in me in a fresh or in a new way. Whatever that would be, would you just ask the Spirit to touch or to move you within your life in a fresh way? So friends, let's just take a moment. I don't want to rush this. If you do need to leave right now, then I release you to go. But let's take a moment, if you're willing. Would you just begin responding as the Spirit moves around you and among you and upon you? It may sound like soft worship coming out of your mouth or praying softly in the Spirit. It may just sound like you giving thanks to God. You don't have to stress this moment. God's more interested in this moment than even we are, and I think there's an appetite here for this. So let's just respond together. Let's give it a couple minutes just to welcome the work of the Holy Spirit to touch and to move on us in this place this evening. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. If you feel hungry for the Holy Spirit, or maybe you're just hungry to become hungry for the Holy Spirit, express your hunger to him. Express, maybe put a way of putting words to it is to just say, I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to touch and move me tonight.